This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition, as we look ahead to Saints at Buccaneers Sunday night game, week 15. The Bucks Bulletin spinoff of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. It was actually the brainchild of Brandon Legal Group a few years ago, a Buccaneer weekly fantasy exclusive podcast as it relates to the Buccaneers and their opponent that particular Thursday, Sunday, or Monday. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. If you have need for help with divorce, Brandon Legal Group can help. If you have need for family law, Brandon Legal Group can help. They can help in many areas. Again, they are a full-service law firm. You can click the box Request a Free Consultation at BrandonLegalGroup.com, or you can call for that free consultation at 844-4BLG-4ME, 844-4BLG-4ME. When you are in need of legal assistance, remember Brandon Legal Group services the greater Tampa Bay area, and they are your full-service law firm, as well as buying the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, including the most recent sold-out Todd Wright Tour XXXIII, our annual golf tournament and holiday spectacular. Very successful in unseasonably warm conditions at West Chase Golf Club last weekend. Brandon Legal Group also provided me two wonderful gift baskets that I ended up needing for the pre-tournament putting contest. The goal was to give away two prizes, one to the red division, one to the green division, and in the green division, we had three balls in the cup. So we had to find a way to award four prizes. I had an autographed Alex Killorn Tampa Bay jersey. I had an autographed Vinny Testaverde creamsicle 14 jersey, but Brandon Legal Group came through with those two wonderful and sizable gift baskets, and all four participants in the putting contest were very pleased with the result. Thank you, Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm in the Tampa Bay area. My email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Recording this in the evening hours, 9:30-ish Eastern time on Wednesday. So if by the time you hear this, there is something obviously different with the status of a particular player or something else has impacted the Bucs-Saints game, please take that into consideration as I tape these at a particular time and they are posted at a different time. We do the best we can. I do the best I can controlling what you hear. I just cannot fully control when you hear it. So again, email is always available to my podcast listeners at toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. In the two podcast leagues, the first round of the playoffs was week 14. In the AFL podcast league, Greg, who had a horrible start to the season, stood by his team, stayed confident, and now finds himself in the semifinals. And the other three teams in the semifinals were battling right to the end for the two byes and the number one seed, separated by less than 50 points. So Greg, who drives in from Ocala to participate in our annual draft nights at Bill Curry Ford, Greg, you had a heck of a turnaround, although that seems to be a theme in all my leagues this year where a team really got on a roll once we got into about mid-October, maybe even before that. But in the AFL podcast league, that was Greg, who went from dead to now deadly. And he's going up against Dan, Kevin, and why am I forgetting my fourth team up top? Oh, Team Taga. Sorry, Tony. So they're all in the semifinals. The two winners advance to the championship round next week, where the winner will get a $1,000 check from Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford on Northdale Mabry. In the NFL Podcast League, Ira Kaufman got his first playoff victory ever last week, and he rolled to that victory over the wonderful Mike Lentz from Papa John's of Tampa Bay. If you're ever ordering from the Papa John's on West Waters, just east of, what is that, Linebaugh? Or is that Sheldon? Papa Mike is always working hard in there. And he started, much like Ira, he started playing fantasy football in my podcast leagues. And they have improved every year. Well, Mike ran into a big week for Ira Kaufman, who very proudly moves on now to the semifinals, as do I, for the second consecutive year in this podcast league. I advanced to the semifinals, and I needed a big comeback against ABC Action News chief meteorologist Dennis Phillips, who got a big performance out of Williams from Denver. It would have been bigger had Melvin Gordon not played, so that helped me, but he had a down week from Kelsey. He played a Jet, which you know I say not to do under just about any circumstances. I guess he had no choice based on some things going on with injuries or otherwise, but he chose to play Jamison Crowder. That didn't work out. And Devontae Adams fueled a huge comeback for me on Sunday night. Admittedly, some of that was by design. I like having players to get me points in the Sunday night and or Monday night game to make a late push. And I also had Dylan, who got me plenty of yardage, didn't get me touchdowns. Aaron Jones got those, even when Dylan did all the work moving the Packers down the field early in the second half. And then I didn't even need Matt Gay kicking on Monday night, although that would have been a nice boost. I then sat Matt Gay because we have penalties for missed kicks just in case Gay had one of those nights like he used to have in Tampa Bay and could potentially put my win in jeopardy. So I gave Gay the night off, just played the six starters rather than the seven. And Dennis Phillips, who made our title game last year in the podcast league, loses in the first round of the playoffs to me this year. I did make the very aggressive move in the podcast league, as I did in the foundation league for the second week in a row, benching Lamar Jackson. And Dennis sent me an immediate email when he saw I had done that, and then another email when Jackson left the game with the ankle injury. It turned out to be the right move for the second week in a row by sitting down my, you know, my franchise quarterback that I put a third round pick into that just hasn't looked good the last month. And there were a lot of reasons that went into me not playing Lamar Jackson in both leagues, where he's been my starter all year long until 2 weeks ago in the foundation when I picked up Taysom Hill and I went with him instead of Lamar. But yeah, it worked out. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So the final four in the NFL Podcast League, it will be Ira against defending league champion Rob Wright, Baby Benjamin's dad. And I have to take down the juggernaut that is longtime Channel 10 anchor Dave Wirth, and one of my Todd Wright Tour Hall of Fame golfers that I saw at Todd Wright Tour 33 over the weekend. I gave him a new Cubs bucket hat. I don't think it's left his head since. It was on him the remainder of that golf tournament, and I believe even at Black Diamond with our friend Leanne, my quote-unquote golf wife, in a Dave played as a guest in a ladies' event on Monday. Good for Dave. That just shows you what kind of company he keeps. He is the man. Well, Dave hadn't lost since week 4 in fantasy football, and that loss was to me. My team is totally different now. Dave's not so much. Dave's been fueled by Jonathan Taylor, as I'm sure some of the better teams in your leagues are right now also. I do get the benefit of Taylor going up against the Patriots this week. That, as I talked about on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football podcast earlier this week, you know, Taylor's been averaging about 30 points per game his last 4. This one might be more like half that, which still would put him in the top 10 of running backs the last 4 weeks. So some things may work in my favor, but I still don't want to go up against Jonathan Taylor. But I have no choice, and I have to get through Dave Worth to get to the title game. This was the spot I lost in this lost last year. I lost in the semifinals to eventual league champion Rob Wright, and Rob is going to face Ira. That's quite a matchup, actually. Rob's a 2-time defending champion. He's a very aggressive fantasy player, not only in my podcast league, but overall. And Ira, you know, just has been learning more every year by playing in the podcast league. And that really is one of the more experienced fantasy players in Rob. No relation to me, against, it's uncharted territory for Ira, but Ira put together a marvelous team this season and certainly has an opportunity to take down our defending league champion. And then the two winners there will face off the following week for a separate $1,000 check from Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford. All right, so we talked in last week's Bucks Bulletin about a Fab Five, my favorite basketball team, college basketball team of all time, and one that I covered, followed, attended games, tournament games, etc. I was even at their first ever NCAA tournament game. It was at the Omni in Atlanta. It's like an afternoon game against St. John's and Louis Carnesecca that began a magical run for that freshman group of 5 going all the way to the title game, where they led at half against Duke only to lose by 20 in the Metrodome. And I was at that game too. I was really into college basketball back then, and the Fab Five was a lot of fun and very historical to cover, even though they never won a national championship together. They went to back-to-back title games, losing in 92 to Duke and 93 to North Carolina. So the Bucks have their own Fab Five as it goes with fantasy, and I really don't think a lot has changed. I take that back. 4 of the 5 scored in double digits, which is all you really want to accomplish with your fantasy starters. If all your starters score in double digits, you are going to have a better than average chance of beating your opponent. That hurt Dennis Phillips last week, that 2 of his players, Kelsey and Crowder, did not score double digits. Actually, they were way down in single digits, or I would have had to play Matt Gay on Monday night. He ended up going off, but the point being was that hurt Dennis because he had Roethlisberger streaming. That worked. Both running backs worked. I forget what wide receiver he had in the lineup, a couple of wide receivers that perform well, but Crowder and Kelsey, well, one wide receiver performed well, and Crowder and Kelsey did not. So Brady continues to put up top 3 numbers overall in fantasy football with last week's performance, even though he only threw for 2 touchdowns. He obviously had the quarterback sneak for another one. So in my 21st century scoring settings, he was worth 27.7 points. Leonard Fournette, another big game. Of note, as I sit here on Wednesday night, and I am invested in Fournette in the podcast league, Fournette did not practice on Wednesday. It was listed as an ankle injury, perhaps a maintenance day. I'm not close enough to it to know, but I would certainly hope to see Leonard Fournette on the practice field when we get to Thursday, and you can certainly get updates on that via JoeBucksFan.com. But Fournette gave me 23 touches of the football for 132 yards of tandem offense and the one rushing touchdown that got me nearly 20 points in the podcast league and helped me defeat Dennis Phillips. Mike Evans got in the end zone in addition to 91 yards receiving, so he was at 15.1. Godwin didn't get in the end zone, but he got 105 yards, touched the ball 10 times, so he was double digits. Gronk's numbers, and I am invested in Gronk in a couple leagues, down a little bit from previous numbers since he's been healthy. This was close to being bigger, but it just wasn't. 6.2 points with Gronk, 62 yards, didn't get in the end zone. So Gronk's was the lowest performance and the only not in double digits. Streaming or chasing points with Perriman is, you know, he made one play in overtime to win the game. That's it. I talked earlier this week in the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast about Rashad Penny in Seattle and all the factors there, and how picking him up and playing him in a one-and-done situation in your season-long league feels like chasing points unless you have absolutely no other option. And you need a running back. Perriman's about five times faster in terms of chasing points than Penny, and that's not a good thing. I'm trying to make an analogy there. So it's still a Fab Five. I may not use Gronkowski in both leagues where I own him this week, because I'm in the playoffs in both of those leagues, simply because in one of those leagues I have Hunter Renfrow. And Renfrow's touches the football are significantly up since Henry Ruggs was released and since Darren Waller was injured in the Thanksgiving Day game. And, you know, we're not really sure what kind of team Cleveland's going to have playing Vegas on Sunday. So a controlled offense to just keep the chains moving. I'm not saying that Cleveland doesn't compete, but based on what's happening with their COVID situation, they look like they're going to be shorthanded. And we had one of these games last year with Denver and they didn't have a quarterback and it was really bad. So keep checking status there, but I may play Renfrow over Gronkowski, for a lot of reasons. And in general, I like playing wide receivers over tight ends, but Gronk has justified being equivalent to wide receivers at the wide receiver tight end flex when he's been healthy enough to play this season. So I may split the difference, use him in one league at wide receiver tight end flex, use Renfrow in the other league at wide receiver tight end flex. Obviously, if you're in a mandatory tight end league and you own Gronk, you're definitely playing him this week against the Saints. From the Saints standpoint, it really is only about two players. And last week, that's what I said going into the Saints game, and that was even against the Jets, where I guess you could make a case that, well, it's the Jets, so someone else has the potential to go off. No. It was Taysom Hill for 25 points, Alvin Kamara for 20.5 points, and then you drop down to 4.4 for Nick Vinette, 3.4 for Marquez Callaway, 3.3 for Traquan Smith, 2.9 for Tony Jones, 1.5 for Juwan Johnson. And that was against the Jets. All the Saints did was run it down their throat. Kamara ran it 27 times. Hill ran it 11 times. Kamara got in the end zone once. He also caught four balls for 25. And Taysom Hill ran it, like I said, 11 times for 73 yards and two touchdowns. He threw for a buck 75, and he also didn't throw the ball away as he did the previous week against the Cowboys, where he had four interceptions and a pick six, which was minus 10 in my scoring settings. I have no reason to believe that these are the only two Saints you play. And I know some of you would say, well, why would you play Taysom Hill against the Bucs defense? Because he's Taysom Hill and he's going to run the football. And because there's such a premium on quarterbacks getting rushing yards and down in the red zone, Taysom Hill is going to be so likely to keep the ball himself. All it takes is, you know, one red zone touchdown run for Hill, and you're already at 6 points. That's why. So, and keep in mind, you know, you could have made the same argument last week with Josh Allen, and the Bills were down 24-3 and 27-10. And you take a look at the final numbers for the week. You know, if you were stupid enough to bench Josh Allen, just saying, well, I invested a second or a third round pick in Josh Allen, but I'm certainly not going to play him against the Bucs defense because, you know, they're not going to, you know, let him run and they're not going to let him pass. Yeah. Josh Allen was QB1 last week, even ahead of Tom Brady. And you can tell me what you want about that being garbage time, but yeah, he brought him back to tie the game and send it to overtime. The one concern I would have with Taysom Hill would be the continued finger injury and whether or not, look, the Bucs are going to put up more resistance than the Jets did. So can Hill make enough throws? Or is it going to be like the Cowboy game where the Bucs are going to turn Taysom Hill over a couple of times and make it more difficult for him to churn out points? But just two Saints are in play, Hill and Kamara. You're not sitting Kamara against the Bucs. Can you expect what he did last week with those numbers, 27 for 120 and a touch, and then four touches via the air for 25? Look, the Saints have no other way to move the ball other than Callaway catching deep balls or Hail Marys from Jameis Winston and an occasional third down conversion from Nick Vinette. That's what the Saints have. That's all they got. And you have a play caller in Sean Payton who knows these are his best two options to try to stay in the playoff race and just disguise as much as you can who's going to get the ball and where they're trying to advance the ball. So I still think it's a Fab Five for the Bucs, although I'll hedge a little bit personally on Gronk in my own leagues because I own Hunter Renfro and I can play him instead of Gronk in one league. And from the Saints standpoint, it's Taysom Hill. Because of his rushing prowess and how many times he's going to run the ball, and a healthy Alvin Kamara. Now, Mark Ingram may return this week. Just keep checking status on that. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick on Kamara. It's still not a reason to sit Alvin Kamara, but if Ingram plays, where are you, Mark? All right. Let me type this in before we wrap this up just to see as of Wednesday night, what's the latest on Ingram's availability. Well, he's on the COVID-19 list. He still could return because he's vaccinated. He needs two negative tests to return. Okay, that's last week. Yeah. Okay, that's last week. I would imagine you will see Ingram back in this game. And you look at Ingram's touch counts in recent weeks. They're double digits, but they were without Kamara in those games. So I don't necessarily even see Ingram as a real good plug-and-play guy just because – unless Peyton's going to use Ingram and Kamara in the backfield at the same time, and we don't see a lot of that. So I would imagine Ingram will be available. I'm sure they will use him in some situations to give Kamara a break or maybe goal line, which may hurt Taysom Hill. Although they had Ingram in the Dallas game, and it didn't hurt Taysom Hill in terms of his point production, and Ingram had 10 touches for 28 yards against the Cowboys, did not score. All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Bucs Bulletin, spinoff of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Remember, you can email me any of your questions at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks so much to Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm, for their continuing sponsorship of not only the Todd Wright Tour, but of the Bucks Bulletin. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you next week.